This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying tuned. 7:18, Tuesday the 22nd of March. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run. In the meantime, we're turning our attention to ESG issues in the finance sector. Because last week, Bank Negara and the World Bank published a report on nature-related financial risks for Malaysian banks. The report, titled An Exploration of Nature-Related Financial Risks in Malaysia, analysed local and global data to examine this relationship between the financial sector and nature, and also all the potential exposures to nature-related risks via banks' financing activities.
Bank Negara Governor Tan Sri Nor Samsiah said that Malaysia is one of the world's mega diverse countries, and its livelihoods and economic activities are supported by natural ecosystems. Therefore, she notes that the report is an important launch pad for further study of nature-related risks. So how does nature-related risk impact financial activity in Malaysia? And what are the other highlights of this report?
To help us answer that question, we have on the line with us Rekha Reddy. She's the Senior Financial Sector Specialist at World Bank. Good morning, Rekha. Now, explain this to us. How does nature-related risk transmit to the broader economy and even the financial system, especially in the Malaysian context?
Thank you for the question. Nature is the lifeblood of our planet, yet it's declining faster now than at any period in our history, triggered by human activities. Nature gives us food and fuel, and it provides us with the benefits that we get from the existence and maintenance of natural assets and ecosystems. The economy depends on these benefits, also known as ecosystem services, to run, particularly in Malaysia, where we're so lucky to have a wealth of biodiversity. So when we refer to nature-related risks and how they transmit to the economy, we know that economic activities can impact nature, for example, by exploitation of natural resources or pollution or waste. Specifically, physical risk could come from the loss of ecosystem services that businesses depend on. This could be a direct risk, for example, when pollution causes fisheries to decline that eventually impact the aquaculture sector. Or it could be an indirect risk via supply chain impacts and, for example, higher food prices. Sudden changes in policy, technology, and consumer preferences in response to the impacts can also trigger what we call transition risk to businesses and the financial institutions funding them. These pressures could come from domestic changes as well as changes in important export markets for Malaysia, such as the European Union. Similar to climate-related risks, nature-related risks can lead to economic and financial losses. We also need to remember that the loss of nature can also interact with climate change, and this means that these risks could be amplified.
What are these risks specifically, and in terms of the quantum, how exposed are Malaysian bank loan portfolios to it?
Well, let me start by first talking about the risk to the broader economy. There was a World Bank study in 2021 called The Economic Case for Nature, which estimated that if we continue operating as usual, valuable ecosystem services will be lost. And by the year 2030, the global economy could lose $2.7 trillion, and there would be a global drop in GDP predicted of 2.3%. That same World Bank report found that the case of a partial ecosystem collapse in Malaysia could cause Malaysia to experience a 6% annual loss of gross domestic product by 2030 relative to the baseline scenario. This loss would be driven by a decline in export demand and negative impacts from the collapse of forestry and fishery ecosystem services. It's not just Malaysia. This loss could be even higher for lower-income countries, reaching 10% of their GDP annually by 2030 if ecosystem services such as those of forest, fisheries, and pollinators collapse. Similarly, economic impacts such as this could transmit to the financial sector, and impacts of the financial sector could also transmit back to the economy. Banks, through their lending to economic activities, affect nature and can impact nature through their lending. And that's what we look at in our study that was released last week. We find that of the commercial loan portfolio that we analyzed, 54% of commercial lending from Malaysian banks is highly dependent on nature, that is, physical risks. Our study finds that the lending exposures were highest to sectors that depend on surface water, climate regulation, and flood and storm protection as their primary source of ecosystem service. We also find that most commercial lending from Malaysian banks, that is 87%, highly impacts nature. These impacts were mainly greenhouse gas emissions, water use, and terrestrial ecosystem use. This lending could be affected by future changes in policy, technology, and consumer preferences responding to nature loss. And these are the transition risks I mentioned earlier.
Rekha, which type of financial institutions are most susceptible to nature-related financial risk? And do they face differences in risk based on their types?
Well, the impacts of Malaysian banks on natural asset and ecosystem services are generally high. But they vary across types of banks and individual banks. Actually, looking at sectors driving impacts across banks, we find that sectors with high impacts on nature, including real estate, agriculture, manufacturing of food products, and accommodation, are some of those sectors. And there's also sectors that are vulnerable in a wide range of scenarios, but they constitute a smaller fraction of the bank balance sheet. And those include forestry, fisheries, and tourism. That's why we see, for example, a relatively large impact by development finance institutions on nature. They focus on sectors such as agriculture and infrastructure in some cases, which could have a high impact on nature due to their mandate.
So let's do a bit of a comparison. How does Malaysia fare globally in terms of its relationship with nature-related risks and financial risks then?
So this is a new area, and just three countries other than Malaysia have published the results of their analysis of nature-related financial risks: Netherlands, France, and Brazil. So in taking its step to publish its study last week, Malaysia is providing an important example to other countries, particularly emerging economies, about the first steps they can take to better understand these risks. Malaysia is just one of 17 countries classified as mega-diverse, which is a designation due to its wealth of biodiversity. So this study has particular importance to Malaysia, and it's the first country in Asia to do this type of study. So we say that in Malaysia, and particularly with Bank Negara Malaysia, that they're doing well in terms of advancing understanding of nature-related financial risks and considering actions to mitigate those risks with respect to other countries.
Given Malaysia's rich biodiversity, how should the government be stepping up efforts to protect its environment, which in turn will reduce nature-related risk to financial institutions?
So the government has broad tools at its disposal to protect nature, and it could do so in a way that could reduce financial risks. Additional actions that could be considered by Malaysian authorities as the country moves forward to net zero economy could mitigate both climate and nature-related risks. For example, there could be an increase in coordination between upcoming policies that affect climate, such as the long-term low-emissions development strategy, and those that affect nature, such as the National Policy on Biological Diversity. The government can also help by identifying nature-positive actions, and these could include low-carbon pathways that support both nature and climate change goals. And finally, the government could also consider options to introduce new protective measures that could restrict or even impede business operations in key locations that are nature or biodiversity relevant. But it's not just the government that needs to step up. There are other stakeholders that can help protect nature. In our new report, we identify four sets of actions that could reduce risk to the financial system from nature. The first step to address nature-related financial risks is to raise awareness so that risks can be considered in policy, such as those government actions I just mentioned, and also in investment decisions. So I'm very grateful to have this opportunity today to talk to your BFM radio audience to help raise this awareness. Second important action would be capacity building of relevant stakeholders. And these could include financial institutions and others who can take action to reduce their impact on nature, for example, by modifying how they choose to lend. Third in our roadmap of actions are efforts to enhance macroeconomic surveillance capacity and risk identification, with actions such as deepening this analysis of this first exploratory study. And finally, as understanding of these risks deepen, there would be development of regulatory supervisory requirements.
Thank you for your time. That was Rekha Reddy, Senior Financial Sector Specialist at the World Bank. Now, I never knew that Malaysia is one of the three countries which has such a wide diversity in terms of our ecosystem, that we are known as a meta-diverse. So new thing I've learned. But clearly what is important is that you need an all-of-society approach, right? So although this report focuses very much on financial institutions and is done jointly with World Bank and Bank Negara, what is key here is stakeholder engagement across the board and a better coordination of policies.
You're right, and I think when we think about capital as well, it's not only human capital or even financial capital, right? It's also our natural capital that we really need to take into consideration. Now, Rekha very nicely articulated the actions taken, but just as a reminder, look at the numbers she was mentioning just now. A US $2.7 trillion loss, right, per annum by 2030. Malaysia's 6% GDP drop if a partial ecosystem collapse happens. And she mentioned also the loss is deeper for low-income countries that could reach up to 10% 1% of their GDP.
Yeah, so the consequences are really great. And I need to correct myself. It's not meta-diverse. I keep thinking about meta-universe. It's mega-diverse. So excuse me. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.